Welcome to EIR Talks. On June 12, 2002, the City Council of Sao Paulo, Brazil, the third largest city on Earth, proclaimed Lyndon LaRouche an honorary citizen. The award ceremony sent political shockwaves around the world, an unmistakable message that Brazil, like many other nations, is fed up with the fiascos of globalization and free trade. This is the second in a series of programs on Mr. LaRouche's week-long trip to Brazil with his wife, Helga.
Nesta oportunidade, eu tenho a honra de convidar Sua Excelência, a nobre vereadora doutora Avanir Nimitz, proponente desta sessão solene, para que conduza a mesa diretora o homenageado desta noite, Mr. Lyndon LaRouche Jr.
On June 12, 2002, the City Council of Sao Paulo, Brazil, the third largest city in the world, proclaimed Democratic presidential pre-candidate Lyndon LaRouche an honorary citizen of Sao Paulo. The award ceremony sent political shockwaves around the world. It was an unmistakable message that Brazil, like many other nations, is fed up with the fiascos of globalization and free trade as promoted by the Bush administration in Washington. And they are turning to LaRouche for answers. 2.5 years earlier, in December 1999, former Mexican President José López Portillo had shared a speaker's platform in Mexico City with LaRouche's wife, Helga Zepp LaRouche, where he proclaimed,
"Y ahora es necesario que la sabia palabra de Lyndon LaRouche se escuche en el mundo."
It is now necessary for the world to listen to the wise words of Lyndon LaRouche. Now it is through the voice of his wife as we have had the privilege of hearing.
Before the actual awards ceremony, an ongoing plenary session of the City Council was interrupted in order for Mr. LaRouche to briefly address the gathered councilmen. Later that evening, the Sao Paulo Award was presented to Mr. LaRouche by Dr. Avanir Nimitz of the PRONA Party, one of the most popular elected officials in that city of 18 million people. The occasion was a solemn one, with a military police marching band playing the Brazilian national anthem. The U.S. anthem was sung a cappella in deference to the distinguished American being honored that day.
And the broad has red glare, the bombs bursting in the air, came through the night, there were flag was still there. Oh, say the red stars and let banner yet wave o'er the land of all the free and of all the brave.
The ceremony at the City Council was only one of a series of meetings that Lyndon and Helga LaRouche held in the course of their week-long visit to Brazil. The visit began with a unique dialogue at a conference held in the auditorium of the Latin American Parliament at an event sponsored by the Sao Paulo ADESG, which is the Association of Graduates of the prestigious Superior War College.
We are now at a point that the existing definitions, axioms, and postulates of the system which has increasingly ruled the entire world for the past 35 years have now demonstrated themselves to be a catastrophic failure. And for reasons I shall indicate, we are now at the point Well, we cannot expect this system to last in its present form for longer than a few months. It might not even last another week. But we're talking about a few months as the outside possibility for the continuation of the present world system, and that means the United States as much as any other country in the world. So you had the process which is leading to the so-called dollarization of the foreign debt of Ibero-American and other countries, which is the thing that's threatening to blow out Brazil, as this local authority has said, in the first quarter of the coming year. Dollarization. It's a swindle. But what has happened, we calculated, if you compared the debt that the countries of Ibero-America, particularly Mexico and South Central America, South America, their debt outstanding as of August 1971, and compared the actual payments to them of debt, that is, money which represents debt, since 1971, and compare that with the amount that has been paid by these countries. Ibero-America does not owe the world a cent today. It's more than paid all of that debt. And no new net debt has been added. Then why is the debt of Ibero-America so much larger today than it was in 1971? It's a pure administrative imperial swindle. Why don't we recognize that free trade is inherently a failure? It always was a swindle. Free trade has a history. It begins its history in modern and medieval human history, European history. It begins with the Bolshemils, who were otherwise known as the Cathars or Buggers in the English vernacular. And they had a belief system in which they, if you were an elder of the tribe, if you were an elder of the church, that God would automatically give you riches, whether you earned them or not. And if you were not an elder of the church or the tribe, you would get nothing. You were virtually a piece of human cattle. Now, this same idea arose in England under empiricism, with John Locke, with John Locke's conception of life, liberty, and property, which is one of these cases. You had another example of this in the case of Canet, of Francois Canet, the physiocrat. And Canet said, well, look, the gross profit of the society belongs entirely to those we extract from the land. And why does it belong to them? Because if God gave them a title to that land, then anything that land produces is theirs, the owners of the title, whether they do anything or not, by virtue of ownership. Well, what about the people, the farmers who are producing this wealth, or the miners? Oh, no, they are like the cows of the field. They are human cattle. It was like analogous to slavery. The rationale for slavery, as in the case of John Locke's rationale, was exactly that. You can keep human beings as cattle. You can herd them, breed them, and cull the herds as you do cattle. Precisely for that reason. Because they are cattle. So the same system was copied by Bernard Mandeville, who said that you should not have laws against vice, because it is through the promotion of private vice that public benefits occur. This is the basis of the philosophy of the Mount Pelerin Society, which has some influence in the world these days. The same, you had a plagiarist by the name of Adam Smith, who was an agent of the British East India Company's Lord Shelburne. And Shelburne wrote a book which was largely plagiarized from the writings of the physiocrats, not only Canet, from whom he took the idea of free trade, but also Turgot. And this became the British East India Company system, which was taught around the world by the East India Company's Haileybury School. And this became the doctrine of free trade, But people says the British system worked. It did not work. The British never allowed free trade in the former times to be applied to them. The British maintained a protectionist system for the United Kingdom. But they demanded that every country in the world outside England be subjected to free trade. It's a form of globalization. So therefore, the British got their income under the British East India Company influence as what is called invisible earnings. They didn't actually earn it. They were able to dictate political terms or military terms to their victims and thus extract the profit of free trade as the income and the product of the income of the United Kingdom. In every other case, the model which you should know is the American system. The successful system, including the case of the post-war system, was not the British system, was not the free trade system. The United States did not recover from the depression of the 1920s by free trade, recovered by protectionism under Franklin Roosevelt. And where did Roosevelt get these ideas about protectionism? He got them from Alexander Hamilton, the first Treasury Secretary of the United States, who devised the national system of national economy. Got them from people like the two Careys, Matthew Carey and his son Henry C. Carey. Got these ideas from people like Friedrich List, the German-American who was the first to develop the transcontinental railroad system as a policy. So the alternative to the British system was always the American system, which was the United States model of an independent sovereign nation state, which used protectionist methods of the type which we call associate with the American system to defend and maintain its economy. So, and this system, which was not perfectly applied in the post-war period, was nonetheless applied because the United States was not only the greatest power on the planet in 1945, it was the only power. We had the only economic power on this planet. We, together with people like Jean Monnet, created the recovery in Europe. The IMF system that was developed and implemented in 1945 to 1965 was, in a sense, a decaying reflection of what Roosevelt set into motion at Bretton Woods. Not Keynes, Roosevelt and his circles. So therefore we say, why don't we go back to the system that worked as opposed to the one that has conspicuously failed us over 35 years? Why don't we go back to the American system as we see it reflected in the positive features of the 1945-1965 form of the IMF, when there were a lot of faults even in that period. But that's the obvious lesson. What's the solution? As I said at the outset, the problem today is denial. People are afraid. They're afraid of power. They're afraid of the power of the IMF. They're afraid of the power of the United States. And therefore, they say, we have to play by the generally accepted rules among the nations of the IMF and by the United States. Therefore, when you try to solve a problem, you say, we have to find a solution within the rules. You can't violate the rules. You've got to find an alternative within the rules. But what I've indicated to you, there are no solutions within the rules. This has been a long-term process of decadence, of culture and economy. We no longer have the kind of leaders in politics we had 20 years ago or earlier. Our people coming out of our universities do not have the confidence of people coming out of the universities a generation ago. We are in a decadent culture, a decadent system, which is destroying us. And you're not going to find solutions in a system which has shown that its axioms, the definitions, axioms and postulates of the system, ensured destruction. But people say, but you've got to obey or go by the rules. What are the rules? The rules are precisely the rules, the axioms, the definitions, the postulates which have destroyed us. Why can't we change the rules? Aren't we human beings? Don't we represent nations which have the... No, read the... Get this out of the first chapter of Genesis. Is man and woman not made equally in the image of the creator of the universe and endowed with these powers? Do not we have the authority above anything on this planet to change the rules? We have the power. That's what sovereignty means. Sovereignty means the power to make the rules by which we can survive. That doesn't mean we can make any rules we want to. It means we have to have responsibility and competence. But this is, we have the right to deliberate.
There to comment on LaRouche's keynote address were retired General Oswaldo Muniz Oliva, the former director of the Superior War College, and Congressman Marcos Sintra, head of the Brazilian Congressional Committee that is monitoring Brazil's ongoing negotiations around the Free Trade Agreement of the Americas. LaRouche also had a closed-door luncheon with the Commercial Association of Sao Paulo, one of the country's leading business associations. Many of Brazil's captains of industry came to question LaRouche about the current economic crisis.
This means we must think in several steps. First, we require a global monetary financial reform. The best model we have is the 1960-45-1960 crisis. Not as a perfect model, but as a political model. Under those, we must have, therefore, financial reorganization. We require an emergency monetary conference among leading countries using the implicit emergency powers of governments to immediately negotiate a general reform and bankruptcy reorganization. We must also then take certain steps in each country, treaty agreements, to get the world economy moving upward. That means we must have a protectionist system, because what many people don't understand is the importance of capital cycles.
That same afternoon, Helga Zepp LaRouche presented a shocking analysis of the roots of the new violence and how violent video games have been deliberately introduced and spread by the utopian faction in the U.S. military as part of their strategy for global empire. Mrs. LaRouche spoke before a rapt audience of judges, lawyers, and others gathered in the auditorium of the Sao Paulo State Appellate Criminal Court.
Now, one reason why I got involved with this whole subject is the following. I met a six-year-old boy some years ago who asked me what I know about Pokemon.
Me perguntando o que, que eu sabia sobre Pokémon.
I said, I don't know, what is Pokémon?
Eu falei, não sei o que, que é Pokémon.
And he said, what, you don't know what Pokémon is?
Oh, ele me respondeu, como? Você não sabe o que, que é Pokémon?
All children in the whole world play Pokémon.
Todas as crianças do mundo jogam Pokémon.
I said, I doubt it. For example, I know that the children in India, for example, most of them are much too poor to have Pokemon.
Eu falei, eu duvido. Eu sei que, por exemplo, na Índia, as crianças, na sua maioria, são pobres demais para ter Pokemon.
And he said, if they are poor, we should shoot them.
E ele disse, olha, se eles são pobres, temos é que liquidar com eles.
Because if we don't kill them now, they will kill us.
Porque se não nos matarmos agora, eles vão nos matar de todos.
And I looked at the six-year-old boy.
Eu olhei para esse menino, seis anos,
so I started com horror. To investigate this.
E comecei a investigar isso.
And I can assure you, Pokémon is the introduction track for the harder video games.
E posso lhes assegurar que o Pokémon é a porta de entrada para esses outros jogos mais violentos.
It's only ugly fighting, fighting, killing, fighting.
And finally, the LaRouches participated in an all-day seminar of the fifth conference of Brazil-Argentina, the Moment of Truth, which brought together political activists, farmers, small businessmen, and others from the furthest reaches of Brazil as well as neighboring Argentina. One of the dramatic highlights was when jailed Argentine nationalist Colonel Mohamed Ali Zeineldin spoke to the audience by telephone hookup from his prison in Buenos Aires and had an historic exchange with Mr. LaRouche.
Well, this is to Colonel Zeineldin. We got a chance to speak to each other. So I shall presume that you are actually participating in one way or the other in this conference which is occurring here today. On the subject of integration.
Sobre o tema da integração.
The bringing together of people of different cultures and nations
o ato de reunir pessoas de diferentes culturas e nações
for a common enterprise, a strategic enterprise.
Para um empreendimento comum, um empreendimento estratégico.
It's the most important and most challenging enterprise in all statecraft.
É o mais importante empreendimento de todo o quadro de estadismo.
You cannot use ordinary politics under such circumstances.
In net effect, the LaRouche visit marked the presentation of a dramatically new U.S. foreign and economic policy by America's foremost statesman, a policy radically different from the repeated fiascos emanating from the Bush administration in Washington. What was presented in Brazil is already being referred to as the LaRouche Doctrine, a modern-day echo of the 1823 Monroe Doctrine authored by American patriot and then Secretary of State John Quincy Adams. The message was not lost on Brazil, nor the world. Brazil and the United States are the two largest nations in the Western Hemisphere. Brazil has a population of 170 million and is a continental country in its own right, larger in land area than the continental United States, and with the eighth largest economy in the world, including viable high technology capabilities in areas such as aerospace and nuclear energy. But Brazil also has the largest foreign debt of any country in the world, reaching nearly $500 billion. As a result of the predatory policies of Wall Street and the International Monetary Fund to collect that unpayable debt no matter what the human cost, Brazil's economy and sovereignty are rapidly being destroyed, as has already happened to its Ibero-American neighbors. A growing number of Brazilians of influence are recognizing that under current policies, their nation will not survive the onrushing global financial meltdown. A growing number of Brazilians, like their counterparts around the world, are now turning to Lyndon LaRouche for answers.
There is a tidal wave which today is shaking the nations of the planet, nations enslaved to a repugnant, obscene, fetid, filthy financial system, which is already in the process of full global disintegration. As Mr. LaRouche forecast many years ago, there is not an Asian problem, nor a Russian problem, nor an Argentine problem, nor a Brazil problem. The crisis is systemic. The crisis is planet-wide. All of civilization is heading towards a dark age. It is for all of these reasons that today, in this chamber, Mr. LaRouche is honored as the legitimate representative of the worldwide struggle against ruinous speculation which is dragging the world into the abyss. Some centuries from now, when none of us will be here any longer, LaRouche's name will be remembered with admiration and respect by all those who, like those of us here present, know how to treasure intelligence, knowledge, and love of the human species.
Quem é Mr. LaRouche? Who is Mr. LaRouche?
Mr. LaRouche doesn't stop at mathematics. He discourses with an exceptional fluency in matters of the physical world, speaking with intimacy and profundity about the ideas of Gauss, Ampère, Oersted, and Kepler, and so many other great men of physics. When we turn to philosophy, there the man is really something else. From Plato to Leibniz, from St. Augustine to St. Thomas Aquinas, Descartes, Spinoza, the depth of his analysis is enough to leave any one of us with our mouth open. He speaks about ancient history as if he were seated on the sofa at Plato's symposium. It's as if he had been sitting at their side. He who reads Mr. LaRouche's articles receives a refreshing shower of science, art, and philosophy. But beyond such incontestable knowledge, what most impresses me about Mr. LaRouche is his social concern, is his concern for the fate of humanity.
I just wanted to state what I said by intuition from the outset. One can agree or disagree with different points LaRouche makes, but I believe that all of us agree that Mr. LaRouche is a man of courage, because to say the things he did about organized crime would be attempted suicide if it were here in Brazil or in Colombia. I don't know about the United States. So, as I know from the books of his that I read, he is a polemical man who has views with which you may have many disagreements. But what's important here is that these things be brought up for our consideration. So that is the mission of every citizen, to reflect upon the words of Mr. LaRouche.
Muito obrigado a todos os presentes. Obrigado, senhora Silvia.
I would like to thank all those present. My thanks to Mrs. Silvia Palacios, Helga Zeph LaRouche, Lorenzo Carrasco, and principally to Mr. Lyndon LaRouche Jr., who, though an American, behaves like a world citizen, bringing his message, which is often against the position of his own native country. Thank you very much, Mr. Lyndon LaRouche.
Lyndon LaRouche's wife, Helga Zeph LaRouche, located the significance of the Sao Paulo City Council action as follows.
Concerning the United States, there are two Americas. One is the beautiful beacon of hope and temple of liberty of the founding fathers of Lincoln, of Martin Luther King, in whose tradition Mr. LaRouche today stands. The other one is the tradition of the British Empire, of the Confederacy, of slavery, and of the idea of dominating the world through world empire. By giving Mr. LaRouche the honor to be an honorary citizen of Sao Paulo, you all have contributed to send a powerful message to the whole world, which America does the world really want. As a wife, I can only tell you, if there is hope for all the poor countries of this world, for a dying African continent, for a terrible situation in the Middle East, for a very dangerous situation in Central Asia, in the Indian subcontinent, and many other places, it is the ideas of Mr. LaRouche. So I want to thank you, because you all have contributed to do the single one most important thing to contribute to bring the world out of this crisis. Thank you very much.
You're listening to EIR Talks. We'll return in a moment with a continuation of Lyndon LaRouche's trip to Sao Paulo, Brazil. Welcome back to EIR Talks. We continue with Lyndon LaRouche's recent trip to Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Upon being made an honorary citizen of Sao Paulo by a unanimous vote of its city council, Lyndon LaRouche made the following remarks.
Considering the circumstances and the state of the world's affairs,
considerando as circunstâncias do estado dos assuntos mundiais,
the world is now in one of the most perilous periods of modern history.
O mundo encontra-se agora numa das piores nos piores momentos da história moderna.
In which in most nations we will be required to look deeply into ourselves for the resources, emotional and intellectual and others, to solve the great problems which now confront us.
E na maioria dos países seremos obrigados a olhar para os mais recursos mais internos que serão necessários para solucionar essa crise global.
And therefore, under these circumstances, because of the significance of both the United States and Brazil as leading influences in the Western Hemisphere, in the Americas.
Devido às circunstâncias diferentes causadas pela importância do Brasil e dos Estados Unidos como nações líderes do hemisfério ocidental,
it is important to reflect upon the possibilities of collaboration between the two nations at this time.
Nesse momento, é muito importante refletir sobre a possibilidade de cooperação dessas duas nações.
And therefore, I should tell you something about myself as a figure of the United States and what can be learned about the future relations between the two countries and others from examining that aspect of U.S. history.
Portanto, eu vou falar a vocês algumas coisas sobre o meu papel como uma figura política dos Estados Unidos, de modo a permitir que os dois países possam se engajar num processo de colaboração.
Formally, the history of the United States began as a nation state in 1763.
Formalmente, a história dos Estados Unidos como um Estado Nacional começou em 1763.
At that time, the English colonies in North America had been allied with the British monarchy in combating the French Empire in the United States, in the Americas.
Naquele momento, as colônias inglesas na América do Norte haviam acompanhado a guerra entre a França e a Grã-Bretanha.
It came as no surprise to the patriots of those colonies that the British Empire would immediately turn upon and attempt to destroy the liberties of the colonies once the French had been defeated.
Não foi surpresa para os colonos ingleses na América do Norte que o Império Britânico estava disposto a esmagar as liberdades dos colonos logo após a derrota que impuseram à França.
At that point, the history and population of the United States, what became the United States, was divided between two factions.
Naquele momento da história, a população do que se tornaria os Estados Unidos estava dividida em duas facções.
Two factions which have fought a seesaw battle for control of the United States from that time to the present day.
Duas facções que têm se enfrentado pelo domínio dos Estados Unidos desde aquele momento até os dias de hoje.
One led by Benjamin Franklin.
Uma dessas facções, liderada por Benjamin Franklin,
defines my tradition in the United States.
Define a minha tradição nos Estados Unidos.
The tradition of patriots such as Franklin, such as Hamilton, Washington, such as President Monroe, Secretary of State John Quincy Adams, President John Quincy Adams, Abraham Lincoln, and others, and Franklin Roosevelt.
A tradição de homens como Franklin Roosevelt, como Benjamin Franklin, como Alexander Hamilton, como o presidente James Monroe, secretário de Estado John Quincy Adams, depois presidente, como Abraham Lincoln, como Franklin Roosevelt.
The other side, which was formed also as a faction in 1763, were called then and now the American Tories.
A outra facção, que também se formou em 1763, era chamada na época, como é até hoje, como os Tories americanos.
Their loyalties then and now are to the British monarchy.
Eles são leais, são leais à coroa britânica.
In the 20th century, in 1901, with the assassination of President McKinley,
no século 20, em 1901, com o assassinato do presidente McKinley,
the American Tories took power around President Theodore Roosevelt.
Os Tories americanos chegaram ao poder com a presidência do presidente Theodore Roosevelt.
The power returned to the American patriots, at least significantly, with the Great Depression and the election of a patriot, Franklin Roosevelt, as president.
O poder retornou aos patriotas americanos com a Grande Depressão e a consequente eleição do grande presidente Franklin Roosevelt.
With the death of Franklin Roosevelt, the United States slipped again into the hands of the American Tories, not completely, but as a dominant force.
Com a morte de Franklin Roosevelt, os Estados Unidos voltaram a cair nas mãos da facção Tory, se não completamente, mas pelo menos como uma força dominante.
Now it was difficult for the American Tories to carry out their policy in that period. Many of us had been involved in a great war,
apesar de, naquele momento, era muito difícil, durante a presidência de Franklin Roosevelt, era muito difícil que os Tories americanos pudessem desenvolver suas políticas, porque nós estávamos envolvidos numa grande guerra.
Many had served overseas, as I did, during that war.
Muitos deles, que na verdade, morreram durante aquela grande guerra.
Just as a simple soldier, but nonetheless overseas.
Como simples soldados.
We were not disposed to give up everything we had won under Roosevelt.
Não, nós não temos que abrir mão de tudo que nós ganhamos durante a gestão de Franklin Roosevelt.
Even under President Eisenhower, we were not willing to give up the American military tradition which we had experienced, particularly during the Second World War.
Durante a presidência de Eisenhower, nós não estávamos dispostos a abrir mão da tradição militar desenvolvida pelos Estados Unidos, especialmente durante a Segunda Guerra Mundial.
In 1961, we plunged into hell at about the time that Roosevelt, rather Eisenhower, retired.
Em 1961, no final do governo Eisenhower, ele falava em algo relevante a respeito.
President Kennedy, who intended to revive the tradition of Franklin Roosevelt, was assassinated.
Presidente Kennedy, que tentava reviver a tradição de Franklin Roosevelt, foi assassinado.
An ally of President Kennedy, President Charles de Gaulle of France, was nearly assassinated in 1962, in the first of a series of attacks.
Em 1962, no primeiro de uma série de ataques, um aliado de Kennedy, o presidente da França, Charles de Gaulle, quase foi assassinado.
Em 1964-65, the United States went into an insane war in Indochina.
Em 1964-65, os Estados Unidos entraram numa guerra insana na Indochina.
Most of the American military tradition did not survive that war.
A maior parte da tradição militar americana não sobreviveu a essa guerra.
In the period beginning 1966, we began to degenerate. We were transformed from a nation which had been based on production to a nation oriented toward consumption.
A partir de 1965, nós nos transformamos de uma nação que produzia coisas e passamos a ser uma nação consumidora.
We began, like the British United Kingdom, to assume more and more an imitation or a parody of the ancient Roman Empire.
A partir daquele momento, nós nos tornamos cada vez mais uma nação que se comportava como uma imitação do Império Romano.
As you know, in the end of the Second Punic War, Rome had degenerated into what became a few or some decades later an empire.
Como vocês sabem, a partir do término da Segunda Guerra Púnica, Roma se degenerou, ou algumas décadas depois, no que se tornaria um império global.
It ceased to be a productive society as slavery progressed.
Em lugar de uma sociedade produtiva, tínhamos uma sociedade escravizada.
It lived by looting nations around it.
Que vive de saquear, de pilhar as nações ao seu redor.
It ruled by a method of terror called the Roman legions.
Tratava-se de domínio pelo Roma dominava pelo terror.
And then it died.
Pelo terror das legiões.
It died of the rot it built into itself.
Morreu de um verme, de um carcomido que tinha dentro dela.
We have begun to die in the United States in a similar way over the period 1967 through beyond 1971.
No período 1967-1971, nós nos Estados Unidos começamos a morrer de uma maneira semelhante a essa.
With the events of August 1971 and afterward, we became a predator nation, a consumer nation, living more and more at the expense of people around the world and less on our own productive resources.
Com os eventos de agosto de 1971, nós nos tornamos cada vez mais uma nação predadora, uma nação que vivia da exploração das nações ao seu redor.
The system that has dominated the world increasingly over the past 35 years is now come to an end.
O sistema que tem dominado o mundo nos últimos 35 anos agora está chegando ao seu fim.
We are now in an unavoidable international general total collapse of the existing monetary financial system.
Estamos enfrentando hoje inevitável colapso do sistema financeiro mundial.
And therefore it's important for many of you who would wish to believe that's not true to warn you of this so that you may be prepared to act appropriately at the time that the crisis becomes apparent.
Então é importante que todos vocês estejam a, não acreditem que isso, que essa derrocada não seja inevitável e estejam preparados para atuar em decorrência disso.
As you know from your own experience in Brazil,
como vocês sabem de sua própria experiência no Brasil,
that during the post-war period you went through a number of successive improvements in the conditions of life of your nation.
Que esse período trouxe melhoramentos na capacidade de cada nação.
This came almost to an end with the 1971 developments.
Esse período de prosperidade pós-guerra chegou ao fim com 1971, com os acontecimentos nos Estados Unidos.
With the crushing of Mexico in 1982.
Com o esmagamento do México em 1982,
every nation of Central and South America was implicitly doomed to be crushed sooner or later.
Todas as nações das Américas do Sul e Central estavam implicitamente condenadas a ser esmagadas cedo ou tarde.
Today, Brazil is one of the only nations in South America which is capable of doing anything.
Hoje, o Brasil é praticamente a única nação da América do Sul que é capaz de fazer alguma coisa contra isso.
Now go back to Roosevelt in 1932-33.
Então voltemos a Franklin Roosevelt em 1932-1933.
In 1920s, the American people were extremely decadent.
Na década de 30, o povo americano havia se tornado extremamente decadente.
I lived then. I know it.
Eu vivia, estava naquela época e eu sei disso por experiência própria.
I could give you many clinical examples of the degeneracy of my neighbors and other acquaintances.
Eu posso lhe dar vários exemplos que eu presenciei da minha vizinhança e de meus parentes.
But we were struck by a great crisis.
Nós fomos atingidos por uma enorme crise.
And we had a great tradition, a great patriotic tradition.
E nós tínhamos uma grande tradição patriótica.
We had a leadership in the form of Franklin Roosevelt, which summoned the United States to come back to its true self.
E nós tínhamos uma grande liderança na figura de Franklin Roosevelt, que pôde, foi capaz de reerguer os Estados Unidos, de acordo com suas melhores tradições.
In the course of time, by the end of the war, 1945, the United States was not only the greatest power on this planet, but it was the only power on this planet.
De tal forma que ao final da guerra, em 1945, os Estados Unidos eram não apenas uma das grandes potências mundiais, mas era simplesmente a única grande potência mundial.
There were many injustices perpetrated by the United States and others during the period of 1945 to 1965.
Houve muitas injustiças perpetradas pelos Estados Unidos nesse período, entre 1945 e 1965.
But in net effect, the Roosevelt legacy lived on.
Mas, de fato, o legado de Roosevelt permaneceu vivo nesse período.
The economic recovery organized by Roosevelt, the great mobilization for World War II organized and led by Roosevelt, these legacies continued into the middle of the 1960s.
A mobilização de guerra efetuada por Roosevelt, todo o processo de recuperação econômica, todo esse legado persistiu até 1965.
The Americas benefited from this. The Americas benefited.
Todas as Américas se beneficiaram disso.
Other parts of the world, like Western Europe, under the Monnet Plan, benefited from this.
Outras partes do mundo, como a Europa Ocidental, sob a influência do plano de Jean Monnet, também se beneficiaram disso.
Japan was rebuilt on this basis.
O Japão foi reconstruído com base nesse legado.
So despite the injustices, the world was better as a result of Roosevelt's having lived and led.
Então, de modo que apesar das injustiças, o mundo se tornou um lugar melhor por conta do legado persistente de Roosevelt.
Now we've come to another great crisis.
Agora chegamos a outra grande crise.
A crisis as terrifying or more terrifying than that which struck the world in 1929-33.
Uma crise muito mais apavorante e terrível do que a que atingiu o mundo em 1929-1930.
The United States is a piece of wreckage compared to what it was in 1929.
Os Estados Unidos hoje são um país destruído comparado a 1929-1930.
But nonetheless, in our people, in the United States, there is still embedded the legacy of the patriotism which was set into motion in 1763, on which our independence was premised.
Mas de todos os modos, ainda existe nos Estados Unidos o que nós tivemos como tradição a partir de 1963.
We can call that forth. There's another aspect of that tradition which is important.
Há um outro aspecto dessa tradição que é importante.
In the period following the war with Britain of 1812 to 1815, the United States was isolated. The entire world virtually was against us.
No período da Segunda Guerra dos Estados Unidos contra a Grã-Bretanha, entre 1812 e 1815, os Estados Unidos estavam isolados de todas as outras nações.
We had on the one side the British Empire was our enemy, determined to destroy us.
De um lado tínhamos o Império Britânico determinado a nos destruir.
On the other side you had the Holy Alliance led by Metternich of the Habsburg Empire.
Do outro lado tínhamos a Santa Aliança encabeçada por Metternich, que estava determinado também a nos destruir.
At that point the British went to the Americans and said, "Come join us to fight the Habsburgs in Central and South America."
Naquele momento os britânicos vieram até nós e nos disseram, "Juntem-se a nós e ajudem-nos a dominar a América Central."
And the Secretary of State of the United States, John Quincy Adams, later president, said to President Monroe, "No, reject the British treaty."
E o então secretário de Estado, que depois tornaria presidente, John Quincy Adams, rejeitou abertamente essa proposta e disse não.
Adams said two things that are notable right now for the present circumstances.
E ele estabeleceu dois princípios que são muito importantes para as circunstâncias atuais.
The United States must not become a cockboat in the wake of a British man of war against the nations struggling for independence in the Americas.
Os Estados Unidos não se tornariam um caudatário dos britânicos na sua guerra destinada a esmagar as nações recém-independentes da América do Sul.
And also Adams secured the support of President Monroe with the support of two other former presidents to enact the so-called Monroe Doctrine.
E conseguiu o apoio do presidente James Monroe e dois outros ex-presidentes para que se tornou conhecido como a doutrina Monroe.
And Quincy Adams explained it. The United States did not then have the power to defend the sovereign states emerging in the Americas. But as soon as we did, we would kick both the Habsburgs and the British out of the Americas in defense of the liberties of those emerging nations.
John Quincy Adams disse que os Estados Unidos não tinham o poder de confrontar os europeus na tentativa, o Império Britânico na tentativa de esmagar a independência das nações sul-americanas, mas uma vez que tinham assumido esse compromisso, nós vamos nos ater a ele.
That promise was kept by Abraham Lincoln at the close of the Civil War of the United States.
Essa promessa foi mantida por Abraham Lincoln até o final da Guerra Civil nos Estados Unidos.
The United States kicked the Spanish, the French, and Maximilian, and British influence temporarily out of Mexico in other locations.
Os Estados Unidos chutaram os franceses, os espanhóis, o imperador Maximiliano, do México e de outros países da região naquele momento.
Enabled the Mexican patriots to resume control of their own nation.
E de modo que o presidente do México, Benito Juárez, pôde assumir o controle do seu próprio país.
Under Teddy Roosevelt and Wilson, that promise was betrayed.
Sob as presidências de Theodore Roosevelt e Wilson, essa promessa foi traída.
Franklin Roosevelt restored the promise with his good neighbor policy.
Franklin Roosevelt retomou essa promessa com a sua política da boa vizinhança.
John Kennedy proposed to revive Roosevelt's policy with the Alliance for Progress.
John Kennedy propôs reviver as promessas de Franklin Roosevelt com a Aliança para o Progresso.
Now that remains appropriate today.
De modo que é apropriado que nós hoje aqui.
While the United States has an obligation, as we all do, to find cooperation with Eurasia and Africa in saving the world from this horrible situation which now menaces us.
Os Estados Unidos têm a obrigação moral de colaborar com a Eurásia e a Europa para libertar o mundo dessa horrível crise que nos ameaça a todos.
The primary security of the United States has been since the time of Secretary of State Adams the issue of the security of the sovereign states of the Americas.
Desde os tempos do secretário de Estado John Quincy Adams, o principal assunto de segurança dos Estados Unidos tem sido a segurança dos Estados soberanos da América.
And what Adams defined was a community of principle among what for each perfectly sovereign nation states.
O que John Quincy Adams definiu foi uma comunidade de princípios entre todos e cada um dos Estados nacionais soberanos da região.
And so it must be today.
E assim tem que ser hoje.
We in the United States are in a mess, a terrible mess.
Nós nos Estados Unidos estamos em uma bagunça tremenda.
We have great power still, but it's a sham. A sham.
Somos hoje uma grande potência, mas na verdade tudo isso é uma fraude.
Without a revival of the economies of the South and Central America, the United States cannot work its way out of its own onrushing depression.
Como a maioria dos países da América Central, os Estados Unidos não podem sair sozinhos dessa confusão em que se meteram.
Either we shall sail together or we shall sink together.
Ou nós nos salvamos juntos ou nós vamos pro buraco juntos.
And what I can hope to contribute most of all, apart from what I do inside the United States and elsewhere.
E eu, o que eu espero é poder contribuir de tudo que eu sei do que está se passando nos Estados Unidos em toda a parte.
Is to try to provoke among us, as nations, a dialogue on these great issues.
É tentar provocar entre nós um diálogo entre nações, um diálogo entre tradições.
We must not have a hegemonic system.
Não temos que ter um sistema hegemônico.
A slave is a poor worker.
Um escravo é um trabalhador fraco, um trabalhador ruim.
If you cannot evoke the willpower and creative mentality of a people, nation's people, you cannot get much good out of them.
Se você não pode provocar não pode provocar o poder criativo, o poder da vontade nas pessoas, não se pode esperar nada delas.
Some may be more powerful, some smaller and weaker.
Algumas poderão ser mais poderosas, mais fortes, outras poderão ser mais fracas, mais débeis.
But all must be treated as personalities with equal rights.
Mas todas devem ser tratadas como personalidades com direitos iguais.
From each we must demand the same thing. They muster their creative power to help solve problems.
E da mesma forma elas devem ter desenvolver a capacidade de resolver os seus próprios problemas.
We need above all a community of ideas, a community of principle.
Precisamos acima de tudo uma comunidade de ideias, uma comunidade de princípios.
We want to eliminate all kinds of supranational control over any nation among us.
Temos que eliminar todo e qualquer tipo de controle supranacional sobre as nações de todo o mundo.
And finally, look at Brazil.
Finalmente, olhem para o Brasil.
This wonderfully large, virtually untouched wilderness.
Esta magnificamente grande e virtualmente intocada imensidão.
With some concentrations of development, but vast undeveloped areas.
Com algumas áreas desenvolvidas, mas vastas áreas subdesenvolvidas.
symbolized by the sheer might of the Amazon River.
Simbolizadas pela grandeza da bacia amazônica.
If you look at the Amazon region from the standpoint of the great Russian scientist Vygotsky, who devised the terms biosphere and noosphere.
Se vocês olharem para a grande região amazônica sob o ponto de vista do que o grande cientista russo Vladimir Vernadsky definia como a biosfera e a noosfera,
you have a sense of the great power for the future implicit in the development of that in a scientifically sound and rational way.
Vocês poderão ter uma ideia, um sentido do enorme potencial de desenvolvimento daquela região ainda em grande parte inexplorada.
That is one of the great projects of development for the planet as a whole.
Esse é um dos grandes projetos de desenvolvimento para o planeta como um todo.
And it should be a source of inspiration to all Brazil about what this nation can do.
Isso deveria se tornar uma fonte de inspiração para todos os brasileiros sobre o que esse país pode se tornar.
And the United States should be very happy to have such a partner.
E os Estados Unidos deveriam se tornar muito felizes em ajudar tal empreendimento. Muito obrigado.
You've been listening to EIR Talks, a presentation of Lyndon LaRouche's honorary citizenship ceremony in São Paulo, Brazil. To hear a rebroadcast or to read a transcript, go to www.larouchepub.com. That's www.larouchepub.com. We'll return in a moment with closing announcements.